Today, we are continuing our series on Psalm 23. And today we're looking at the third verse, and we are going to look at how God is our God of restoration. Now, last week with the chili cook-off and the Great Outdoors Sunday, we skipped a week. We did a special sermon on creation care. And then did anybody leave here like, you know, good chili? Danny Willen in the back is our new champion, so I don't know why he doesn't have that trophy with him, but I would be carrying it around with me if I could. That's right. That's right. So that's always a good day, just having fun. But anyways, so listen, just to do a quick recap since we skipped last week, we looked at verse 1 a few weeks ago. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now, I teach out of the New Living Translation, so some of you may be familiar with the King James or New King James or some other versions, and even I have to kind of reread some of this stuff because the 23rd Psalm is one that I've had memorized, and so I'm kind of relearning it, so to speak, but I have all that I need. So the main thing that we looked at in that message was that when we choose to put our trust in Jesus, we are saying, you are my shepherd, and you give me all that I need. See, the analogy is that we are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And if you remember sheep, we went over that, and they're not the smartest of animals. And I'll be the first to attest, you know, human beings, at least this one, is not always the smartest either. And so we need a shepherd. We need a savior. We need somebody who will lead us through life and provide for us everything that we need. And that's who Jesus says he will be if we choose. If we choose. And then verse 2 says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Now this is what I would consider spiritual rest. This is something that Jesus speaks to our spirits about. Like, the number 4 out of the 10 commandments is to keep the Sabbath, for it is a holy day. That is a day that we are to set aside in our lives to rest and to focus on the goodness of God. I think we do it an injustice if we say, well, I'm resting, but then we don't take any time to focus on God. See, God made that, I believe, such an important commandment because he knew how valuable not just rest, but focusing on him and resting in him would be for our spirits, for us. And so that was the second verse in that. And then again, if you want to catch up on these, you didn't hear these or something, you can go to our website and go to our Facebook page. They're all on there. But today we're going to look at verse 3, which says, he renews my strength, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. That is restoration right there. And I find it interesting that after giving us rest, the psalm is talking about God renewing our strength. A lot of versions say, he restores my soul. You restore my soul. So right after the spiritual rest that we get is a restoration part for our souls. See, we are a three-part human being. We are created in God's image. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. Mind, body, spirit. We are three in one. We are created in God's image. And that's how it is. So this speaks to our soul. This is rest for our souls. Our soul is our intellect. It's our mind. So we have a mind, we have a body, and we have a spirit. And our intellect, our emotions, our feelings, all of that stuff is wrapped up in our mind. It's our soul. And a lot of times, and free will, the choice to do as we please, to accept Jesus or to reject Jesus, is all a part of our soul. It's a part of our mind. It's free will. It's our intellect. And again, what I believe is Jesus says, I will give you the spiritual rest that you need if you take the time to focus on me. And then I will give you the mental rest that you need. I like to look at it kind of like this. If I was thinking that Jesus was talking to me, personally me, out of this third verse, here's what I like to think he's saying. First, I want you to put your trust in me so I can lead you through life, keep you out of trouble, and give you everything you need. And then I want to bring you to a place of complete rest, similar to peaceful meadows and a nice stream. And then once you and I, Chip, once me and you are there, I want to be able to restore the brokenness in your soul. I want you to allow me to give you the strength that you're longing for, that you need up here in your soul. Because a lot of times when we are weary in life, it has to do with what's running around up here. We can physically rest, but if we're not spiritually rested and if we're not mentally rested, we are going to be tired people. And see, we all have experiences in life, our past and everything, that shapes who we are. And a lot of those experiences might not have been so pleasant to deal with. Or maybe somebody said something that really just got to us. And it makes us think differently than we should. It makes us make choices that we wish we weren't making. Or say things kind of we wish we wouldn't say. Our emotions become a little bit damaged. Our will might even be broken. And due to this, our minds, the way we think, and the memories that we dwell on can be so out of sync, out of line, messed up than the way we want them to be. Because we can't escape the things that happen to us because we continue to dwell on them. And Jesus says, if you allow me to be your shepherd, one of the things I can do for you is restore the hurt and the brokenness that affects the way you think, feel, and the decisions that you make. That's what's wrapped up in this verse right here. And then I can bring you along right paths. What is the right path? Well, it's a path of righteousness. It's one where me and my Savior are in sync with each other. And it's the one that before the day I was born, he said, I have plans for you. The right path. And in the end, what it does is it brings honor to God's name. I can restore your soul. I can renew your strength, is what Jesus is telling us. But only if we allow him. You know, there's a lot of people that go through life wondering why God is allowing this to happen to me. Why would he give me this to deal with? Well, if he's not in your life, why are you blaming him for it then? And here's the thing. We live in a fallen world. We'll get into that in a minute. But when we allow him, what I was going to say was, I believe that Jesus looks down upon his creation and he sees hurting people. And he does everything he can to get our attention. And when we reject him or we can't hear him, he doesn't force himself upon us. He knows what we need, but he waits for us to call him in because that's how the trust starts to be built. So, and also that is where true freedom in Christ is found. See, as believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus, we hear that phrase a lot, freedom in Christ. There's freedom in Jesus. What exactly does that mean? It doesn't mean you're free to do whatever you want, but it means you're free from all this stuff that is messing you up. There's freedom in that. So today we're going to look at some things that keep us from moving into a place of restoration. Because more often than not, we are the ones that hinder that process. We hold on to past hurts that damages our soul, our thinking, our minds. We are constantly thinking about things that were said and done to us. Causes us to hold on to anger, hurt, bitterness. We carry that grudge around with us about that person or those people because we can't let go of what happened in the past. And the fact is, we live in a fallen world. There's nothing we can do about it. The trust that was broken in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and God is what caused all of this. So if you want somebody to blame, blame them. But God had a plan. He knew what was going to happen, and he had a plan. But nothing will be perfect until heaven is established. We are broken people. We live in a broken world. We hurt people, and people hurt us. Sometimes it's intentional, and sometimes it's not intentional. But when it happens, and it will, we may resent the person and harbor bad feelings towards them. So we have two choices to make. Let it go, offer forgiveness, grace, and mercy to that person, or hold on to it. Resent them for what they said or did. And think about how you're going to get them back. You know those thoughts that you have, the conversations that you have with the person that hurt you? That when you see them one day, this is what you're going to say to them? And the truth is, you're never going to see them. Or when you do, you don't say that. You say, hi, how you doing? But in our minds, we want to make sure that they know we are one day going to get even with them. And all we're doing is more damage to ourselves. Now, here's the thing. Either decision we choose to make is going to spill over into the relationships around us. Our coworkers, our family, our friends, they are going to be the ones that get to experience how you deal with things that are said and done to you that possibly hurt you or upset you or offend you. Because if you move in an area of forgiveness and grace and mercy, guess what everybody around you is going to get to deal with? But if you harbor bitterness and grudges and you get angry very easily and you don't like it when somebody does the slightest thing to you, guess what everybody else around you gets to experience? So these choices we make, they don't just affect us. You know, I read something earlier in the week that stuck with me. It says, when you win, those closest to you win as well. When you succeed, those in your inner circle are the ones who succeed as well. Everything about us spills over into our relationships. So let's just look at something that we are told to do or not to do from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. We're talking to believers here. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus, and he's not just giving them good suggestions or good ideas on how to live. These are commandments. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. He has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You believe in Jesus, you put your trust in Jesus, you are his and he is yours. And you will be saved one day when heaven comes down and we get to rule and reign with him for eternity. But then comes the hard one. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Bitterness and anger and harsh words and similar actions, just in case you're trying to find a loophole. I like when similar actions mean whatever else. But I didn't do that, but you did something similar. These actions have a way of becoming who we are. Because if we think it, it ends up coming out of our mouths. And even though these thoughts and feelings are meant for a past hurt, the people who are currently in our lives are the recipients of those thoughts and feelings, those past hurts. And the person who you are directing that towards is living their life, not even knowing that you're harboring these feelings towards them. So forgiving, just as Jesus forgave us, is the only way to release the person who caused the hurt. Forgiveness is the only way. And Jesus even said, if you cannot forgive others, my Father cannot forgive you. Because of the seriousness of what he went through on that cross for us. That was for our forgiveness. Jesus allowed, and as innocent as a man could be, to be nailed to that cross for us. Forgiveness is a very, I think it's high up there. You cannot experience everything that Jesus has for you if you cannot forgive somebody. And I understand that sometimes it's a process. I mean, it is a process, but sometimes it takes time. But you just got to work it out with your Savior. And he'll get you there. He'll get you to where you need to be. But it's the only way that will release a person from inside your head. And it's what brings about, forgiveness brings about a healthy mindset. Because if you can go through life not worrying about a slight offense or a serious offense, and you can offer forgiveness and grace, you are going to be that much healthier. And our shepherd will be able to restore your soul and renew your strength over and over again as you extend that forgiveness. But when we carry around resentment and feelings of retaliation, it makes us no better than the person who hurt us. We're no better. Because again, everybody around us gets to experience what's going on with us. But when we forgive, it puts us in a better place as the healing process from Jesus brings restoration. And here's a proverb maybe that might help. Proverb 20, verse 22. Don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Let God deal with it. If you are his, you put your trust in him, do you know how much he cares for you? He's going to take care of the people that hurt you. It's just not going to be in your timing. And maybe they will come to heaven with you. So you may as well get that over with now while you're here on this earth. The second thing that we're going to look at, so that's past hurts and grudges and things. And then the second thing that I think really keeps us from moving into an area of restoration is guilt and sin. Unconfessed guilt. Unconfessed sin. Grudges and guilt are two of the biggest things that cause harm to our soul, to our minds, to our intellect, to the way we go through life. See, grudges have to do with what somebody has done to us. But guilt has to do with what we've done. We've done to others, or we've done in private, and it's eating us up. We're not dealing with it. It will rot from the inside out. Nothing will rob us from our happiness more than carrying around a load of guilt. Because you don't realize how heavy it is until Jesus takes it from you. You get used to carrying it around and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And you don't realize why you're so mentally worn down until you reach out. You know what? Here's a story. I'll never forget this. When I put my trust in Jesus and then I started coming to church here, and then it was about two and a half months later, I remember I got up for church. And I remember I got out of bed and I felt like I was 1,000 pounds lighter. I mean, really, I did. I was like, whoa, something's happening. Something is different. And I sought out the pastor, Pastor Dave. Met him one day and I said, something's happening. You know, I just feel lighter, better. It's like, that's the forgiveness of your sins. All that guilt and all those sins and all that stuff you've been carrying around from you. You've been carrying around with you. Has been lifted off of you. See, we don't realize how heavy it becomes until Jesus takes it from us. And then we're like, whoa. And that is resting in green meadows beside peaceful streams. Restoration of our, renewing our strength, restoration of our souls. Because unconfessed guilt and the stuff that we keep to ourselves will cause damage to our soul, and it causes damage to our way of thinking because it becomes a heaviness that we carry around with us. And again, we don't really understand or realize how heavy it is until we give it to Jesus and he takes it from us. Maybe you've said something you wish you could take back and you don't know how to go apologize. Maybe you've done something that you knew you shouldn't have and you're just too ashamed to even bring it to Jesus. Maybe it's your past that haunts you. You haven't brought it to Jesus. There's several things that cause us to carry around guilt. But can I just tell you something? If you're afraid to bring it to Jesus, I got news for you. He already knew about it. So just give it to him and get it over with. You're the one that is slowly peeling the Band-Aid off. And he's like, would you just give it to me? We can move this process along a lot quicker. Guilt and sin were never meant for us to carry around and deal with ourselves. That's why Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. But as human beings, we make things complicated and we do it anyways, right? We try to fix it ourselves. I got myself into this. I can get myself out. And then we carry this around and then it just becomes heavier and heavier to deal with. Forgiveness brings restoration. Forgiveness brings us closer to Jesus. Confessing and asking for forgiveness usually are the last resort though, right? Because we're afraid of the consequences. We're afraid to talk to Jesus about it. We're afraid that somebody might find out. We blame others for how we feel then. That's what happens, right? We project our guilt onto others. Remember, those around us are the recipients of how we feel inside. We compromise how we feel. Try to convince ourselves, it's not that bad. I can deal with this. We rationalize our guilt. Well, I saw so-and-so did the same thing. Everybody else is doing it. The best thing we can do with unconfessed guilt is simply confess it. Give it to Jesus. Talk to him about it. Or even better, actually, which is even a harder process though, but sometimes it needs to happen, talk to somebody else about it. Somebody who you respect spiritually, you know, a life group leader, pastor, talk to them about it and have them pray with you about it. Because what happens is when we confess that sort of stuff, we are bringing something that we've kept hidden into the light. And darkness can't reside in the light. Darkness has no life to grow when it's brought into the light. And when you bring another believer into the situation with you, the devil can't win on that one. You are bringing it into the light, and Jesus now can begin the restoration process. And you probably have somebody that's holding you up in prayer now because they know how you feel about this. Maybe it's something you're trying to stop, but you can't. Maybe it's something from the past that you've never gotten resolved. Maybe it's something that you really wish wasn't going on, but is. And if somebody knows how much it's eating you up, at least if somebody comes to me with stuff like that, I'm constantly holding them up in prayer. Whatever I do, if I have a blank moment in life, I'm like, God, would you just please help them right now with what we talked about? Before I go to bed, there's people that cross my mind. Let's pray for them. God, help them deal with this. Help them, give them a solution when they wake up in the morning. And there's nothing more powerful than when somebody else is lifting you up in prayer. Confession also means that we understand we have a Savior who can bring us through this and out of it. We don't blame others. Don't compromise. Don't rationalize. Don't deny it. Confess it. And the healing will come. I know this because it's in the Word. We're going to take a look at James chapter 5. I love this verse, 5:16. We often quote the second half of this verse all the time. But look at the first part of this verse. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's healing in confession. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The powerful, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? That's the part that we always quote. But I think there's more power in the first part of that verse. I remember a few years ago, I was just going through my regular Bible reading, and it just, like, it smacked me across the face. Like, wait a minute. We never talk about confession and how it brings healing and how important it is. We always talk about the righteous man that prays will get you through anything, which is true. But there's healing in confession. But what are we always afraid to do? Confess. Somebody will know. Well, you know what? There's an enemy that runs around on this earth that wants nothing more than God's children to believe that they can't find healing in confession. So keep it hidden, he says. Don't talk about it. Deal with it yourself. But God's word says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's why life groups, small groups are so important. That's where healing takes place. That's where we go deep with each other. That's where real solid relationships are formed in a Christian community. Confession allows the Holy Spirit of God to lead us along the right path, and therefore it brings honor to his name. Because people will see that we've changed a little bit, we've become nicer, we're not so sharp, we're fun to hang out with in the break room. Something's happened. What's going on? Well, I got to tell you, man, just things are happening at church. I think God has healed some things in me. People will see that, and that brings honor to his name. Also, we often struggle with confession and forgiveness, right? Like, I don't feel like I've been forgiven. How could God ever forgive me of this? Well, 1 John chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If you struggle with forgiveness, this is your verse. You need this verse. If we confess our sins to Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He didn't allow himself to be nailed to that cross so he could say, Chip, you're going to have to work for this one. I think you got to wait a little bit. No. He wants us in an area of restoration probably more than we do because he knows where it will lead for us. So if you struggle with forgiveness, this is your verse. Keep it with you. And sometimes it is a process because we need to understand that whatever it is that you feel unforgiven for can be, will be, and is already forgiven. There is power in confession. It brings freedom and it will allow our shepherd to guide us along the right path in life. And again, it just brings honor to God's name. Confession will drive away guilt because whatever is brought to the light, again, to Jesus, can no longer live in darkness. I think once the enemy sees you bringing things into the light, his power is... It's broken over you. There is no power over you. Jesus will bring good out of every bad situation we deal with. He will teach us how to do that. He has a way of turning things around. Whatever you don't think you can ever get out of or away from, Jesus will turn it around for you. Because he is our shepherd. And he gives us everything that we need. You need restoration. You need forgiveness. You need some help. Come to me and I will give it to you. Come to me so the trust can be built and I will give it to you. See, Jesus says in this psalm to each one of us, I will take your guilt. give it to me. I died on the cross and paid for all of your sins so you wouldn't have to. If you trust me, I will restore your soul over and over and over and over again. As long as we come to him, he'll do it over again. Multiple times a day, multiple times a week, multiple times a month, multiple times a year, until we get it figured out, which someday we will. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That no matter how bad we think things are, he will constantly get us into a good place. That is the gospel of restoration. When our lives are restored back to our Savior, what happens is the broken relationships around us begin to get restored, because everything is the way it's supposed to be with us and our Creator, and then things begin to heal in us and then around us. And those around us get to experience our salvation and our restoration process. And just, again, just to let you know that So the prophet Isaiah spoke of this very thing about 2,700 years before Jesus was nailed to the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, the entire Bible is wrapped up in the book of Isaiah. But here is what was prophesied of Jesus in 53 verse 4. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. You see, at the time, this was prophesied of Jesus being nailed to the cross. And at the time, it was the religious leaders that felt that he deserved everything he got. And sometimes people today believe that, well, he deserved everything he got. But there was a reason for it all, so that we could be made whole. He was pierced because of our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped almost to the point of death, so that we could be healed. So that those of us who, like sheep, have strayed away, have left God's path to follow our own, could come back to him, have our sins forgiven. See, Jesus went through all of this for each one of us. And sometimes we don't feel forgiven, and sometimes we have a hard time of letting go of those past hurts. And Jesus understands that. You know, what I think the best thing about Jesus is, he moves on our timetable. Sometimes he speeds us up a little bit, but I think he's so gracious and merciful that he's right there beside us, guiding us along, and slowly but ever so surely giving us the advice and the help we need as we move along. Because if we go too fast, it might be too fast. If we go too slow, we might dwell on too much. So he'll nudge us along a little bit. But that's who he is. And when we have a hard time dealing with some of this stuff and letting it go, we have to trust the forgiveness process. Maybe you're not ready to experience it just yet. But you need to hold on to that verse from 1 John chapter 1. And Jesus says, when you're ready, man, give it to me. I'm going to take it from you. It's going to be a wild ride, because you are not going to have that heavy bag you're carrying around anymore. And for me, you know, if I have a hard time letting go of a hurt or an offense, I bring passages like this to mind so that I can remind myself what Jesus went through for me. And if I can't forgive or offer grace or offer mercy to somebody, I am saying what you did, Jesus, was not good enough. I am negating everything you did for me. I am ignoring what you did for me as a believer. Because if I hold on to a hurt as a believer, I'm saying that wasn't enough. I don't trust you, Jesus, to get me out of this. So we'll close with this. I'll bring it home. I want to read one more passage and then just a couple minutes to kind of wrap it up. And then we'll move into a time of worship. But I want to read a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. And it says this. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So if you're beating yourself up over things that you've done, guess what? You're in good company. Look around you. We all fall short. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. None of us are good enough. We'll never measure up. But with Jesus, we can receive what He has for us. It's all about trust. Trusting in Him. We are broken people living in a broken world. But it is by grace that our sins are forgiven. Grace is undeserved favor. The guilt we carry around can be taken. The people we hold grudges against, they can be released from us. Because when we put our trust in Jesus, we have been forgiven, and we are supposed to extend that forgiveness and that grace to others. If I want everything Jesus has for me, Jesus says, I will give it to you, but you got to share it. You got to live it. You got to do what my word says, and you will be free in Christ. Release those who have hurt you, give them to Jesus, and focus on the day at hand. Forget about yesterday. Tomorrow isn't here yet. Take it one day at a time, because we'll never have the renewed strength and restored soul when we have thoughts of resentment and bitterness clouding our thinking. So what I want to do is I want to encourage everybody here today to trust Jesus. And maybe this is what you need to do. Literally say to Him, I am letting go of all of this so that you can renew my strength. Please restore my soul so that I can be on the path that you intend for me to be on. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you for what you're about to do here as we head into a time of worship. I believe that some of you are going to be set free from some guilt and from some past hurts, things you've been holding on to. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has a divine appointment for some of you. So I want to encourage you to get ready for that. And God, for those of us that need to trust the forgiveness process, I ask that you would begin to speak to us about that. And slowly, but ever so surely, move us into that area of freedom, renewed strength, restoration for our souls, the way that you intended, so that we can be on the right path. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. We are going to head into a time of worship, but before we do, we'll pray for our offering. So we have boxes on the back wall. If you have your tithes or your offering today, feel free at any time during worship to put that in the boxes in the back wall. And if there's anything in the bulletin you want to fill out or sign up for, you can do that and put that in that box as well. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the support that this church has with the tithes and the offerings, with the money that people give, Lord God. I thank you for that. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless every individual, every couple, every family, every business represented behind that money that's given throughout the week via bill pay, online, texting, mailed in, and even here today, God. And in turn, I pray that you would help us at Vineyard Community Church use that money to the best of our ability to further your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.